I want to talk to you today about Jesus, the Son of God. We want to examine this thought. Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the flesh, born of a woman. He emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges and lived as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Son of God was born of a woman. He was and is God's gift to us. Last week, I preached on the grace of God. Jesus Christ, I said, is the grace of God. He is God's provision that enables us to live life and to live godly. The Son of God was born of a woman. He is God's gift to us, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? For the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So this miracle conception was the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no other explanation. This was a miracle birth, and you take it by faith that the Son of God was born of a woman. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, but while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph discovered that his fiancée was pregnant, and the Holy Spirit says, no, it's not what you think. This is a miracle of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is bringing the Messiah into the world, and he will be fully man and fully God. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, the angel said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was born, the eternal Spirit of the Son of God entered that body. He is like us, a spirit in the body. Jesus Christ has been God as long as God has been God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Father God needed a righteous man to die in my place. All of us human beings were contaminated with sin. No one could die in my place because everyone had the same problem I had, sin. And so in order to have a righteous man to die in my place, Jesus Christ was born of a woman, took on human flesh, but in spirit he was God. Therefore, he was a righteous man, and he could go to the cross and die in my place. That's the whole plan of salvation. That's God's plan of salvation. So we talk about the little baby laying in a manger. That was no normal baby. That was the eternal Son of God born of a woman. And that is so unbelievable for our minds to comprehend. But if it was easy for us to comprehend, it might not be God. You'll never understand God. And you'll never understand the way he does things. But you accept him and his word by faith. And when you accept it by faith, he begins to prove himself to us. The Son of God was now in a human body. This is called the incarnation. The theologians, the great theologians, call this the incarnation. I'm a graduate of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, and they talk a lot about the incarnation, the Son of God taking on human flesh and living among us and dying on the cross in our place. The Son of God was taken on human flesh. Jesus was preexistent with God, but took on human flesh at birth. And until you understand that, it really doesn't make any sense. But he was God, and he took on human flesh, and he looked like just the rest of us. He was a human, but in spirit, he was God. You are spirit in a human body. And that's the same with Jesus Christ, except his spirit was the eternal Son of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's you and me, He himself likewise shared in the same flesh, same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus shared in the same human flesh, but we have that we have, so he could be a righteous human being. He was born of a woman, took on human flesh, and lived in this world. And he put God on display because he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil. He cast out demons and devils. He delivered people from things that were destroying their lives. He helped Peter catch at one time 2 boatloads of fish. It really don't hit us what that was, but that was 2 boats full of wiggly gold. To them, that was their living. So he even helped people catch fish. He told Peter to go down and cast a net in, and he caught a fish that had money in its mouth so they could pay their taxes. Listen, the Lord has a lot of fish with money in their mouth. Can you say amen? And he can help you find those fish. Okay. He can even enable you and help you live life. But this man, Jesus, was 100% God, 100% man. So Jesus is God's gift to all of us. You can receive him as your Savior, invite him into your life. He will be a good shepherd. He'll help you make good decisions, lead you and guide you all the days of your life. He's a miracle worker. He can work the miracles you need. As I was saying earlier, the Lord's worked many miracles in me. As all of you know, I had strep throat for years and years. And once the Lord gave me that revelation on healing, God began to heal me every time that the devil tried to put the strep throat on me. And I have not missed preaching. Some of you regret it. But I've never missed preaching for 47 years because of sickness one time. I've been sick, but God heals me so I can preach. He is the healer. He will enable you to do things you would have no way of doing on your own. Believe me, he is the only way to go. Somebody say amen. I'm the wrong side of the tracks. I had an uncle in prison. My daddy was tried for attempted murder. And I had the same demon in me, but when I accepted Christ, he changed me, transformed me. Not as much as some of you would like, but he's still working on me. Just be patient. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary gave birth to a beautiful, healthy baby boy, except this was no ordinary baby. He was the eternal Son of God. Galatians chapter 4. And all true Christians believe everything I'm saying. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son born of a woman. This makes it clear the Son of God was born of a woman, just the same as all of us. You have a human body because you're born of a woman. And he was born of a woman. Matthew 16:15, he saith unto them, his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that? Let's try that. Let's say that together. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered, listen to this, and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, Jesus Christ looked just like everybody else. But Jesus said, Peter, you recognize me as the eternal Son of God because my Father revealed it to you. That's why I became born again, is because the Father revealed to me who Jesus Christ really is. This is a personal thing. And once you begin to discern in your spirit that he is the Son of God, that he has sent from heaven to help you and bless you and change your life, then you accept him by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace, shed blood, Calvary, the benefits of Calvary. For by grace are you saved, born again through faith. Faith is your part. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and all the benefits and all the promises that he provides. We put our faith in him, then he begins to work miracles in us. That's the way it works. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So this salvation thing is serious. It's real. And it only comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the Father reveals him to us. And when you discern in your spirit that this really is the Son of God, it's time to accept him right here, right now, and believe that he will live in you and change you. Because, well, I can't live it. When he moves in, he lives it through you. He begins to write his laws in our hearts. So by new nature, we just want to do what's right. Jesus looked like everyone else, but God revealed to Peter his true identity. This is not just another man. This is the Son of the living God. And he has revealed him to each of us who are born again. And if you've never met Jesus Christ, the Father God, I believe, is making him real to you right now. If you're in this room, watching by live stream, listening by radio, when you discern he's the real deal, accept him by faith. Now, because of his birth, Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Anyone who does not believe that, Christians call them a cult. Anyone who says God created Jesus, that's a cult. Anyone who says he's not fully man, that he's not fully God, that's a cult. All true Christians believe that he was the Son of God, born of a woman. Therefore, he is fully God and fully human, 100% human, 100% God. You say that's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. And he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. He said, well, how in the world could that be? He's at the right hand of the Father, and we're here. How could he be in me and be up there with the Father? Have you ever heard of Zoom? Yesterday morning, Saturday morning, I had like 17, 18 men on my computer Zooming, about another 7, 8 in the room, and it was like all of us are just together, there, here, and yonder. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is there by the Holy Spirit. We're Zooming. He's here. He's amen. He lives in each of us, and he's at the right hand of the Father all at the same time. Thank you, Jesus. That's the best example I could come up with. Yay. Zooming. For Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. You say, well, how in the world could he be fully God and fully human? How could God live in a human body and still be God? And this tells you. You ready? Verse 7. But emptied himself. He emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges. He emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges and lived just like one of us as a man. Every miracle he worked was on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't working miracles as God. He was working miracles under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'll prove that in just a second from the Word. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges. And then it says, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. You see, he took on human flesh. The world can now see the true character and power of God in human form by reading the Gospels, reading about Jesus. Whatever you see Jesus doing, that's the will of God. He was God, so he certainly didn't violate the will of God. He was God. God reveals himself through his Son. And the only way anyone can ever know God is a revelation by God. And Jesus Christ is the greatest revelation of God. Scientists say, well, you can't prove there's a God. Well, you sure can't prove there's not. Amen. Can you say amen? And he's already proved himself to me. He lives in me. I know he's real. Amen. He's healed me. He's worked all kinds of miracles for me. It's unbelievable what he's done. God reveals himself through his Son. Verse 8. Been found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. He humbled himself. At any moment, he could have defeated the whole Roman Empire. As he said, he could have called for legions of angels. But he submitted himself as a man, a righteous man, to die in my place. It was his choice. And he chose to die for me and provide for me. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even though Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, he emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges and lived as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Every miracle he worked was by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Here it is, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. He did what he did by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but he was still 100% God. But in flesh, he was a man, just like you. Somebody said, well, when they nailed him to the cross, it didn't hurt like it would us because he's got wrong. He had human flesh just like yours. And because he was a righteous man, he probably was far more sensitive than we are. It probably hurt him more. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He said, I'm preaching because I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, not because I'm God. Y'all see that? As plain can plain be. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised or crushed by life. Not only did he come to preach salvation, he came to heal the broken hearts. He came to heal those who have been bruised and crushed by life. In this world, you're going to suffer some serious licks. But he said, I'm here to heal the hurts and the scars, the emotional scars. I'm here to restore you mentally and emotionally. I'm here to help you physically. I'm here to help you get a job. I'm here to help you live life victoriously. I'm here to help you with your family. Jesus Christ is God's provision for everything we need. And you can tell by looking at him. I've been around for a while. And he's supposed to say, I can't tell. But I know you can. And I'm telling you right now, I accepted, even though I had some rough characters on my, especially my father's side, accepted Christ at Vacation Bible School in the Baptist Church at 11 years old. And my life has been totally different from all the rest of them. Simply because of one man named Jesus Christ. Totally changed my life. And I haven't suffered because I'm a preacher. God has still provided everything we've ever needed. And more. But I didn't get in this business to be blessed financially. I get in this business just to obey. But when you seek first the kingdom of God, he adds everything else. That's what Jesus promised. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Who believes that? About everybody in his church. Okay, because we've seen it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he emptied himself, being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and died in my place. And Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty of them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Have you believed that? Amen. He was anointed to do that when he's on earth, and now he's anointing us to do it. And he's present in this room himself to respond to your faith. If two or three are gathered together my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's here. Yeah, let me ask you, do you believe he's here as he asked me? Do you believe he's here to fulfill the prophecy in the Word of God? Do you? Do you believe he's here to help you personally? Yes. Jesus Christ was a human who performed his miracles through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he said, he that believes on me, she that believes on me, the works that I do, he, she shall do. And how could that be? How could I do the works he did? It's because the same Holy Spirit that he had, he has given to us. He said, I give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he'll never leave you. And the same Holy Spirit that anointed him to work miracles can anoint us to work miracles. That's the only way you can explain it. How can I do the works that Jesus Christ did? It's because the same Holy Spirit is upon me, anointing me. Jesus said, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have authority, you shall have power. And we have power today, not because we're something special, but because we're anointed by the Holy Spirit. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus Christ was a human who performed his miracles through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can do the miracles he did because as humans, we can be anointed by the same Holy Spirit. If you're getting anything out of this message at all, it's because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not obviously not because of my eloquence. John chapter 14, verse 12. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Do you believe that? Amen. He said it. Now, why can we do the works of Jesus Christ? Because he lives in us. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. Jesus actually said that. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And once again, Jesus today is at the right hand of the Father, but like zooming, he's in me, he's here in this room, he's in you, he's at the right hand of the Father, and we're zooming. Can you say amen? What better way can you illustrate it? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. This is Paul. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ now lives in me. That's why I can pray and believe him to take care of me, because he lives in me. You can know you're born again because Jesus Christ lives in you. The life which I now, I'm just reading the Bible. Amen. Don't see me after church and say, what did you mean by that? Ask him what he meant by it. I'm just reading. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and, look, gave himself for me. He gave himself for me and for you and for Paul and for all of us. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. So I live by faith that he'll keep every promise. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And if you believe he is the Son of God, then you're going to believe everything he said. Amen. He would not lie to you. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, and he was transformed before them, and his faith, look, his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. I believe he would have looked like that all the time if he had not entered himself. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. For just a short time, the disciples, three of the disciples, had a chance to have a glimpse of him in his glory. Look what they saw. He was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. One of these days, we're going to see him in his full glory. And we'll be with him forever. Amen. And we'll have glorified bodies that will never be sick again. But right now, he's a human being in the Godhead. And we say, well, no one understands what I'm going through. The truth is, we don't understand what he went through when he was crucified. He's been here, done that, so to speak. And he has suffered like we suffered and worse. And so when you come boldly before the throne of grace, before God's throne of provision, you're coming before a high priest that sympathizes with you, that understands you, that loves you, that cares about you, cared about you enough to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He came for you. He's for you. He's on your side. Will you have problems in this life? Yes, because there's a devil on the loose. But he'll help you even defeat him. He was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. You see, they had a short glimpse of his radiant glory. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This God-man is now our Lord. This is why we are required to confess, Jesus is my Lord. If he is your Lord, then you will obey him and do what he says to do. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Now listen to some of this, who he really is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being. When you see Jesus Christ, you see what God is like. Jesus is the exact representation of God. That's why you need to start studying the Gospels like you never have before, because as you study Jesus Christ, you begin to get a glimpse of God, a glimpse of His compassion, a glimpse of His love for people, and a glimpse of His desire to help you with everything, including fishing. Amen. Jesus is the exact representation of God. When we see Him, we see God in action. Whatever we see Jesus doing, that is the will of God because He's God. Do you think God didn't do the will of God? John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus answered, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." If you want to know if it's God's will to heal, see what Jesus did. He healed everybody who came to Him. He didn't heal everybody, but those who came to Him, He did. Just read the Gospels. It's right there, black and white. Jesus answered, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus, the Son of Man, to do the works that He did. When He went about doing good and healing all, that was and is the will of God, because He is the grace, the provision of God. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before God's throne of provision, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. John chapter 3, verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven, but, now this is Jesus Himself preaching. No one has ascended into heaven, but He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. John 6, 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. He is more than just a good man. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who said that? Peter. He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You're right." And the only way you really know that is because the Father has revealed that to your heart. Do you have a revelation that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God? That's where all faith comes from. He said to me, "Do you believe I'm still here?" "Yes, I do." He is here to keep every promise. Our part is faith in Him and His Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. Are these scriptures good? Yes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I can tell you a bunch of stories. I got a bunch of stories. The great things God has done. But I feel right now we need to get these scriptures in us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. Jesus was not created by God. He is eternal with God. People say, "Well, God created Him." That's heresy. And those people are called a cult by Christians, by the Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Methodist, all of us. You see, His body was formed in the womb just like every human body, but in spirit He was co-eternal with Father God. Isn't that miraculous? You say, "Well, that's impossible." That's why I believe it, because everything is possible with God. If everything He did was possible... What kind of God is that? They can only do the possible. This God can do the impossible. Verse 3, all things came into being through Him. Listen to this, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus Christ is eternal with God, and He created everything you see, including you. That's what it says. Well, I don't believe that. Well, nobody can make you believe the Word of God. But I believe it, and it's working in my life. Jesus is the Creator God, yet He became human. Jesus is a spirit in a body, very much like you and me. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's referring there to the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, we saw Him for a glimpse in all of His glory, and He's the real deal. You see, He now lives in us and enables us to do the works He did. He lives in and through us. He works through us. That's why we must pray for each other, help each other, bless each other, do what we can to help each other have a good Christmas, because he works through us to bless one another. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received, listen to this, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. He is 100% man, 100% God. He is our Lord and High Priest. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, look at this. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, listen, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When he departed for heaven, he took his human body with him. When you come boldly before the throne of grace, you're coming boldly before the Son of God, who is fully human and fully God. He understands you. He's been here. He lived in this world just like you. That's why the gospel is so believable. For God so loved the world that he gave the best he had, his Son. And all we have to do is believe in him. But most of the world is so stubborn and bullheaded, they will not believe in him. And many of them seem to be proud of it. One day, they'll regret it. Because he came to save us and deliver us. And deliver us from the old slave master of the devil. Deliver us from the bondage of sin. Deliver us from the bondage of drugs and alcohol and illicit sex. Deliver us from spirits of rebellion. Deliver us from spirits of poverty. Deliver us from spirits of inferiority. Deliver us from spirits of infirmity. He's here. He's on the job. We just have to believe him. We have a human within the Godhead who intercedes for us. It says he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us right now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Come boldly before the throne of grace, because Jesus Christ understands you, and he will be moved by your prayers and your requests. He will hear and he will answer. Look at John chapter 16, verse 23. And if you're wondering how many I'm going to read scriptures, this is the last one. At least that's my plan. John 16, verse 23. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's the great benefit of having Christ in your life. He said, you can ask the Father anything in my name, and he'll do it. Now, you can't ask for something sinful. You got to line up with the will of God. Years ago in Louisville, many years ago, there was a man praying for another man's wife. Well, that's sin against God. He's not going to answer that. But if you need some food, if you need a good job, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So that's a promise. And I've lived on that promise for almost 100 years. Not quite. I'm telling you, it works. He'll take care of you and provide for you until it's his time for you to go to heaven, and then you're going. Amen. It says there's a time appointed to man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. I hear people say, well, I was praying for so-and-so, and they died. And then they're all upset because they went to heaven. Don't get upset when somebody goes to heaven. It's the will of God. Everybody's going to die. Well, I prayed. Well, if it's God's will to take me to heaven, you praying for God not to take me to heaven is not going to work. Can you say amen? Amen. There was a guy in his church many years ago. He was dying. People were around prophesying he's going to live. I'm praying for him. He's going to live. And the Lord showed me, I'm taking him to heaven. There's nothing you do to stop it. And so all the people prophesying he's going to live, it didn't work. He went to heaven. Amen. And I'm glad he did, because he needed to get out of here. You know, he'd been in some bad health and issues, and God took him to heaven to get him out of here. Praise God. One of these days he's going to come get me and come get you. But until then, he will help us live life. Amen. John 16:23, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Therefore, so his coming wasn't just to show off he was the Son of God. He came to answer your prayers and to help you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Here again, you got to line up with his will and his word. You can't just ask for something ridiculous or something sinful. Ask for his perfect will for your life, and he'll begin to do it. He'll begin to work it. Hitherto, if you ask nothing in my name, you've got to ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And when rebuking the devil, you've got to say in the name of Jesus Christ. It's his name. His name is the most powerful name on the face of the earth. And we need to use it constantly, speaking to mountains and speaking to demons and speaking to our problems. Hitherto, if you ask nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Here's the way we read it. Ask and you may, and you shall receive. Maybe. You just never know. If you ask, you might receive. There's no guarantee. Well, if you're asking for something sinful, you're not going to receive it. But if you're asking for bread, if you're asking for a good job, if you're asking for God's blessings on your life and your family, he will answer that. Ask and shall receive, that your joy may be full. He wants you to have joy in this life. He wants you to rebuke that depression and rejoice. Be full of the joy of the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. First one is love. What's the second one? Joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, benevolence, which is given, and meekness and self-control. Number two, joy. If the Spirit's in you, he wants to produce love for people and joy. Amen. And all the others. Jesus is God in the flesh. His name is the key to receiving from God. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name. If you can't ask in his name, knowing it's not his will, then he's not going to answer. You have to ask in his name. And you're not going to consciously ask for something contrary to the will of God, because it's his name. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The Son of God was born of a woman. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Because of his birth, Jesus is the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. Every time we pray, we need to remind ourselves of who Jesus Christ is. He's the God-man that came because he loved us. Let's all